Amen. Thank the Lord. Come on, let's give our young people a hand. Amen. I thank God for them. Even the courage, you know, and even as they were, you know, as they were just making the, you know, I don't call it a poem, I call it a declaration. Amen. And we need to hear their voice. Amen. And respond to their call. Amen. Because truly, they're on point, you know. Almost brought me to tears just listening to them. Like, oh my goodness. Speak, young people. Speak your heart. Amen. You have a voice, use it. You know, if I were to say anything, amen, is that there are more coming. Amen. But it's up to us. Amen. Each one of us to do our part to draw them and to love on them, to let them know that they need Christ. Amen. I could say as much, if sometimes it's more than we do with the age that we're living in. You know, so I got up this morning, I looked at my phone, and I saw a shooting. 4 people killed in a Waffle House, you know, in Nashville this morning by a naked gunman who they're still looking for, you know. And right below that, you know, then there's 30 people killed in Kabul, Afghan, you know, by a suicide bomber. You know, it's like Elder Nick said, it's becoming a common thing, whether it's in the schools or Starbucks or whatever. Amen. People are doing crazy things. Amen. And we never know, you know, what's coming next. But we do know who we need now. Amen. And we need to really constantly be connected with him. Amen. And walking after his way. So let's pray while you're standing, and then we're going to get into the word. Amen. Father, we just thank you right now, Lord, for this time that we've had to come and worship and fellowship, Lord, and just to receive from one another, God. I thank you for the young people in this house, God, as you're building them and strengthening them and preparing them so when their 4 years are up, God, that they are ready, that even now they're ready, hallelujah, to face more than those that don't know you. So, Father, we just thank you right now. Lord, prepare our hearts to receive your word this morning. You download into us. Lord, move me out of the way. And download into us, God, those things that you want us to hear and receive, that we may apply them to our living, God. We thank you for this day, Lord, because we know it's only because of you and your goodness and your grace that we are here. Lord, we give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We'll go ahead and release the children. Amen. Oh, no, they stay in today. That's right. I'm so used to releasing them, amen, but this is the fourth. Amen. So, hey. Everybody get to hang out with us today. Is that all right? Amen. You know, I just thank God, because, again, I'm just blessed. Amen. I just, you know, my heart for our youth and our children, amen, that they would get to know Christ more and more for themselves, that they can truly find their identity, you know, in him, you know, and that we would, you know, I love what they, you know, I want y'all to write that out. You know, I want a copy of that. You know, but I just think it is so important that we hear the voice of these young people. Don't dismiss them and then release them unprepared in our minds, but learn to trust them and to feed into them and to build them and to equip them. Amen. Even by sharing our mistakes with them so they don't, you know, repeat the same things. Amen. So this morning, amen, we thank God just to be here. We had a chance just to get away some few days last week, amen, in celebration of our anniversary. Amen. Just thank God for being able to spend a week away with my lovely bride of 44 years. Amen. It's like, it's funny. We stopped the couple. You know, we was walking back to our suite, and we stopped, and Pastor Linda was another couple walking next to us, an older couple. Amen. And she stopped him and said, "Are you guys married?" Because they're standing there holding hands, and she got my arm hooked, you know. So, and she said, "Are you guys married?" And she said, "Yeah." He asked them, how long did they say? It was like 36 years or something like that. They said, you know, it was 32 years. 32 years. They said, you know, we started telling them, "Well, that's great. Y'all just keep on." Then she asked, "Well, how long you got?" We told them we were there celebrating our anniversary, you know. And she said, "Well, how long have you guys been married?" And of course, Pastor Linda tell them, 44 years. And they step back and look at, oh, goodness, y'all beating us. Y'all don't look like y'all married 44 years, but praise God, we are. Amen. And I just thank God, amen, because he carried us through the 44 years. And guess what? He's still carrying us Amen. Next year, amen, it's going to be, Lord willing, be 45 years. But see, we still spring chickens, amen, compared to some in the house. How long y'all been married, Dad? Years. My God. How about you, Mel? 55 years. Come on, let's give a hand to them. 64 and 55. That should give us young people, you hear what I said? Us young people, some hope. Amen. Because I guarantee you, if I was just to hand the mic over to them two couples, they'd keep us here for the week, telling us about all the ups and downs and the challenges and the blessings and, you know, all those things that it took to get to 55 and 64 years. Amen. It just don't come with a hop, skip, and a jump. It come with some commitment, some sacrifice, some compromise, all those things in order to get to that place. Amen. And once as you get there, you look back and say, you know what? It wasn't really that serious anyway. I thank God we got by it. Amen. But, you know, it's so easy these days just to throw in the towel and say, I'm done. Amen. Because of this or because of that. But I just encourage you, hang in there. God makes what? All things what? Beautiful in his time. It's not your time. Amen. But in his time, he's working something. He's developing something in us. No, but as we were, you know, a couple of weeks back, amen, I started talking to us about the mystery of the kingdom. Amen. And, you know, as we begin to dig into that, you know, God just kind of got in the midst of everything and had his way. So we want to continue that message, amen, and try to dig in a little, because we really need to, like I keep saying, we need to understand the kingdom more and more. Amen. This kingdom that we're a part of, this kingdom that we're living in, amen, and what God has called us to, amen, and operating within his kingdom is so important, amen, that if we don't get it, we're going to continue to miss out on what's right at our fingertips. You know, I think about the fact that, you know, if you're in the kingdom and you're a, let me ask this question, we got any king's kids in here? Let me see your hand if you're a king's kid. Huh? A king's kid. Amen. Even the babies got their hands up. All right. I like that. Amen. Know who you are. Amen. Know and see. Now, because I want to ask this question, even before I get into the scripture, is if you knew you were royalty, if you really believed and received and understood that you were royalty, how would you conduct yourself? Stop and think about the royals that we see in the news and, you know, and so forth, you know, and how do they conduct themselves knowing that they're princes or princesses, amen, and they're heirs to the throne? How do they conduct themselves crazy? Do they act, can I use this word, ghetto? Hello. You know, do they run around huffing and puffing all the time? You know, they use all kind of crazy language and go anywhere and act any kind of way. No. See, royalty has a specific way of conducting themselves. They walk with a sense of knowing who they are. They walk with a sense of expectation because of who they're connected to. Amen. They don't let every little thing shake them because they know what? They're covered. Amen. They have a certain air and authority about them even before they inherit the throne. Because they understand who their daddy is. Okay? And I say all this to say, we as kingdom people are royalty. And we too should conduct ourselves at a higher standard than those who are not. Or haven't even come to the understanding of who they really are. See, so when we carry on like just any old body, it's because we, like I said last, you know, at the last message, we don't understand who we are. So we run around and we act crazy,
and we fighting for crumbs when the whole kingdom belongs to us. We scraping and begging and fighting and comparing instead of walking around like king's kids. Amen. Knowing that he's already working everything out for us. And when I become a full age of maturity, amen, that belongs to me already will be released to me. And if we would understand that instead of scraping and for breadcrumbs, and just really believe our Father, amen, is working all things to our good, you know, we could be like royalty. And we could relax knowing that this is not the end of it. You know, just hold on. Keep watching my life. Keep watching my situation. Keep watching my circumstance, because I'm going to rise to the top. I don't have to be arrogant about it. I don't have to be snooty about it. Amen. I can still walk around with love and compassion and concern about others, because I'm not worried about what's coming my way. But when we don't understand that we are royalty, then we act like we're still the slaves. We're still in bondage to the world. We're still caught up in all these things that we gotta, you know, fight to get our own rather than wait for him to present to us what's already been prepared for us. It's a big difference when we understand that we're royalty. And that's what this whole kingdom thing is about, is to help us understand that you are part of the kingdom. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. But we want to act like we're in the world because we don't understand that we have been set apart from the world, amen, in order to operate like God wants us to operate, to be the light, to be the salt, amen, to allow the world, amen, to look on us as those peculiar people desiring and wondering. You know, the scripture even says even the angels desire to look into this thing. Does anybody desire to look into your life and see what it is you got that they're missing? We all got to answer that question. You know, so, but as we were talking about the parables, amen, how Jesus taught, and he used the parables in such a way, amen, he would speak to the crowd, but at the same time, he's giving exact same information to everybody. He's speaking spiritual principles to his people. And it's him that opens our understanding based on our desire for him. You see, so therefore, we can all hear the same thing, but not receive the spiritual principle. Everybody can see the natural in the parables. And, you know, this one thing, even as he spoke in parables, amen, he knew that everybody wasn't going to take it seriously. Amen. Just this, even today, people come to church and everybody don't take it seriously. Hello. So, but he was answering in Matthew 13:35. You know, he was actually fulfilling a prophecy, because it said that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world." Amen. So he's fulfilling those things. He opened his mouth. Amen. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I want to understand everything he's saying. I want to hear not just the natural, but the spiritual principle and ramifications that come behind grabbing hold of his word and walking it out. And then we look at Mark again, amen, 4:33-34. It says this, "And with many such parables spake he the word unto them as they were able to hear it," as they were able to hear it. In other words, depending on their level, amen, of desire to know who he was, amen, getting really a desiring to hear and to receive and to walk it out. See, because if we distracted, we can't hear. If we caught up in the world system, amen, it hinders and hampers our ability to hear the word of God. If we're, like I say, if we don't understand who we are, amen, we think what the corporate world says is who we are, amen, rather than what the king says who we are. So therefore, we're more focused on those things, amen. And ain't nothing wrong with getting ahead, amen, as long as you know who you are.
That's right.
So that when you do arrive there, you know it's not because of you.
That's right.
Because of it's who got you there. Amen? You see, even he said in Luke 24 and 27, said, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scripture the things concerning himself. Amen. He wanted us to understand who he was so that we could understand who we are. So he came preaching the kingdom. Amen. So we could understand what God's purpose is for us. He didn't just come just to save us. He came to equip us. He came to prepare us. He came to make us ready, amen, so that when the time comes, we will be able to reign and to rule with him. Amen? So it's not, if it was all just about saving you and saving me, as soon as we got saved, he should have just snatched us on up out of here. Amen? If he just wanted us to be forgiven, but he wants you to be more than forgiven. He wants you to be useful.
Hallelujah.
Hello? So he wants you to be useful for his kingdom. Amen. He wants us to come into a fullness of our identity. Amen. And you drop down in that same chapter to verse 45. It said, then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Now last week, amen, as we were opening this message, we began, not last week because Pastor Linda spoke last week, week before, as we were opening this message, amen, we read when he shared with them about the parable, amen, of the seeds being sown. Some on, you know, good ground, some on wayfaring, some on stony ground. You know, we shared it, but we didn't get a chance to really break down the explanation. See how Jesus, you know, when he took his disciples aside, because he said unto them was given to know the mystery of the kingdom. So once he got away from the crowd and he sat down with them, amen, and those who understood, I need to hang around these disciples. I need to hang around this Jesus. And he began to break down to them, amen, the meaning of the parable. And so we're going to take a look at this meaning, amen. And I think that some of us might see ourselves in one or more of these places and stages of our lives, amen, as we've come. Amen. So in Mark, the fourth chapter, amen, starting at the 13th verse, where Jesus sat down and he began to speak to them. And he said, and he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how when ye knew, I mean, ye know all parables. How, he said, if you can't understand this one, how are you going to understand the rest of them? If you can't understand the natural, how are you going to understand the spiritual implication? So he begins to break it down to them so they would understand. He said, the sower. Now, the sower could be Jesus. It could be anyone that's sharing the word. It could be you sharing the word with somebody else. Amen. As we're sowing spiritual knowledge and understanding and principles into the lives of people, now, we can't make them receive it. Amen. It's not to us, up to us to prepare the soil. Amen. Because we're just here to deliver the word. Amen. So it said, the sower sowed the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan came immediately, say immediately.
Immediately.
In other words, right away. He wasn't wasting no time. Amen. He said he came immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Say in their hearts. We're gonna work on that in a minute, but I want to just read through this. Amen? And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they had heard the word immediately received it with gladness. Say gladness. Amen. And have no root in themselves. Wow. And so endured but for a time afterward when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Say offended. All right. And these are they which are sown among thorns, which as hear the word and the cares of what? This world. And the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Say unfruitful. Wow. And finally, in verse number 20, and these are they which are sown on good ground, which as hear the word and receive it, say receive it, and bringeth forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So we see four different kinds of soil outlined in this passage. Amen? And I'll be honest with you, I was more than one of them kinds of soil at one time in my life. How about you? So when we see, amen, but a change begins to take place when this soil is being worked on. And he wanted them to understand, amen, it represents, you know, these types of hearers. What kind of hearer are you? Amen. So, you know, sometimes we don't want to hear the word. Amen. But let's start with the first one that he talked about, the ones that, you know, fell by the wayside. Amen. You know, as they heard the word and we begin to look at it, it said, and it really caught my attention as I was reading this and preparing it. It said it fell by the wayside, but when they heard it, amen, Satan came. But what happened? Where was it sown? It was sown in a place in verse number 14. Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word which was sown in their hearts. That's a good place in their heart, right? You would think. Huh? But when we stop and really consider what the heart is, the Bible tells us our heart is what? Deceitfully wicked above all things. Amen? So the heart is representing our flesh. We received it not in our spirit. Amen. But we received it because it sounded good. It felt good. Amen? You know, but it was a hard-hearted. We received the word. You ever received the word with indifference? I know I'm talking to somebody in here. I hear you, but I'm not hearing you. And I know the Bible said, but, you know, when we got that but in there, you know, because it really don't fit our circumstance the way we want it to fit our circumstance, or saying, you know, I can't do what I want. So they received it in their heart, but then we begin to manipulate it in our heart. Amen. We begin to try to tweak it and change it, or decide if we're going to accept it or reject it in our heart. Amen. Because our heart represents this flesh. It represents our knowledge, our awareness, our feelings, our intellect, all those things there. I mean, and that's what we're dealing with, amen, when we say, he says that we received it into their heart. And that's why the enemy can steal it away, because he comes to replace it with something else. He comes to replace it with our own desires and our wants and our feelings and all those things, amen, and it's taken away. And I don't know if anybody in here has ever been there. Specifically, I know what's in the house. Amen. So we got to ask ourselves, am I one of those hearers that it just goes by the wayside? I'm going to push it over here. I'm going to put that on the shelf right now, because I'm not ready to walk at that level. I'm not ready to hear that. Amen. And then there's the stony ground. Amen. That we hear it. Amen. And this one here is interesting, because it says that, you know, we receive it with enthusiasm. Excitement, but there's no depth. You know, you heard a good word, preach! You know, and we get excited and we get enthusiastic about it, amen, but again, immediately it's taken away, amen, because it got no depth of root. Amen, it had nothing to help us to stand, amen, when the real trouble come, when things begin to happen, amen, it all of a sudden, amen, even though they received it with gladness, they had nothing in them. And all of a sudden, I know I'm going to talk to somebody right now. When affliction comes, when persecution comes, amen, when things begin to happen in our life that just don't line up, we begin to repel the word. We begin to get mad at God and say, God, you're not fair. God, you're not right. Your word says this, but I'm going through this. And we have all these things, all these reasons. So we begin to repel the word and we reject the word because it really didn't get down in our spirit. Amen. It's just sitting in that place, amen, where the enemy could come, amen, and steal it away so easily. You know, and the one thing I looked at this one and the word that I had you to repeat. Amen. Because all this persecution and all this affliction, amen, came and it came for the word's sake. You ever been in that place where now you're going through something because you tried to stand on the word? You tried to do it according to the word? Amen. Because you're trying to do right and trouble comes. Anybody ever felt like that? Amen. I know, amen. You get to that place, you know, before I got saved, I didn't have this kind of trouble. Before I got saved, I didn't have no money, no problem keeping some money in my pocket. You know, but every now that I done gave my life to the Lord, all hell is breaking loose in my life. Amen. Why? Because you're trying to do right, and because you're trying to do right, the enemy is coming directly at you. And he's going to hit you in the places that you love. Hello. He's going to hit you, amen, where you're not expecting it. And then after it says that, you know, he says, and they were immediately, they were what? They were offended. Now that one really hit me as I was looking at him saying, my goodness, how can we, the people of God, say we love the word, but when things come, when trouble come, amen, all of a sudden now we're offended by the word. Anybody here ever been offended by the word of God? I got one hand that went up. One, okay, I got two. I'm starting to see some hands now as we start thinking about it. Amen. You ever been to that place where I come to tell you the word when you're going through this? I don't want to hear that. Hello? Don't give me no word right now. I'm not saying you're offended because what happens when the word comes in those places, all of a sudden, if you would receive that word, it takes away your power. It takes away your power to be mad. It takes away your right, amen, to act crazy. It takes away your authority to be unforgiving. So now you're offended because the word is saying do this, but you don't want to do it right now. I'm not feeling that right now. You ever been there? I'm not feeling no. See, we find ourselves offended by the word of God when the word of God comes against our feelings, when it comes against our emotions, when it comes against our decisions. Well, I'm out of here. Is that what the word of God said? You know, a lot of times people come to us for counsel, quote unquote, but they're really coming for a cosign on what they want to do. And when it don't line up with the word of God, I'm not co-signing. You give me a list of reasons. I don't care. I'm not co-signing. Because it don't line up with the word. And so all of a sudden now they're offended. See, they want us to say, okay, I understand. You know what I ask people when they tell me what they're going to do? I say, well, what did God say? It gets quiet. Amen. Because why? We don't want to talk about that. Because if I go there, it's going to offend my plans. Right? It's going to go against what I want. See, we get to that place, amen, to where I'm grown and I want to do what I want to do. And I know what that book says, but this is what I want to do. And guess what? You have the power to do what you want to do. Every single one of us. We got the power to get up and walk out of church. We got the power to get up and walk out of our marriage. We got the power to get up and, you know, cuss somebody out. We got the power to slap somebody upside the head. Come on now. Huh? Hello? Don't we? Let them get on your nerves. Let them hit you at the wrong time. And we'll see what's in you. And you got the power to do it, right? But the problem with that is you don't have the rights to do any of it. See, if you had the right to do it, there wouldn't be no consequences. Right, right, right. for it. Amen. But see, when we do everything we have the power to do, we don't want to face the consequences because we don't have the right to go against the child of God. Child of God? You don't have the right. You said, Pastor Linda hit it right on the head this morning. Have you really given your life to him? Because if we did, then we realize we gave all our rights over to him. Right? You have no more rights to do what you want to do just because you want to do it. You have the rights now to listen to the word of God. And if we would just do that, everything else will work itself out. He'll work on our behalf. He'll help us. Amen. Even when we don't see the outcome. I can tell you, we've been through things where I didn't see the outcome. But we just had to keep trusting God. Anybody else been there? I know I'm not the only one. We had to just keep on trusting God. Amen. And when we just keep on trusting God, he is able to come in now and work it out because we didn't let the word offend us. Amen. And get us out of alignment. Amen. With his purpose and his will for us. I'm going to show you a scripture here a little bit if we got time. Amen. It's going to help us to understand he has a plan and a purpose for your life. But you or I can abort it when we choose to do it our way rather than continue to be consistently obedient to what his word tells us to do. That's what he's calling us to. So don't be one of those, amen, that's so easily or immediately, it says, offended by the word. And then the stony ground. Hallelujah. We would think, well, is that a hardness of heart? No, let's find out what those stones represent here. Amen. When we begin to look at the stony ground. Any stony ground here? Don't raise your hand. Amen. You know, but when we begin to look at those, amen, and say, oh, my goodness, help me. I don't want to be that one. Amen. I don't want to be the one that allows things to just so quickly and easily fall away. Amen. Because why? We heard the word, amen, and it didn't get any depth. But then we look at, oh, I'm sorry, we should be on the sown amongst thorns. That's where I'm supposed to be. Hallelujah. Thank you. Sown among thorns. You know, thorns are a good thing. If we understand them. Amen? But when we look at this word, hallelujah, and we begin to see as he's talking about his sown among thorns, what are the thorns? Amen. There's three specific areas that he points out in that verse. When he's talking about those that were sown among the thorns. Amen. In verse 19, he said, the cares of this world. Number one. That's a thorn. And the deceitfulness of riches. It's number two. And the lust of other things is number three. And those thorns, they come in and they choke the life. Now, I looked at this and I'm like, wow. They choke, what does it say? It says, and choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Wow. So the world ain't choking you. Huh? The deceitfulness of riches, how can I make more money? What can I use to get rich quick? Who can I undercut? You know, so we see we got deceitfulness of riches, amen. We got the cares of the world. And you know, the Bible says we become friends with the world, we become enemy with God. And then we got the lust of other things. And now you can just decide what things it is that the enemy wants to bring into your eye view, amen, that you're willing to allow the word of God that's in you to be choked out of you. See, it didn't say you were going to be choked. It said it choked the word. And the word became unfruitful. The word couldn't produce because it was overshadowed and choked out by the desires. These three areas, amen, that come upon us. And if we're not careful, they look good, they sound good. But if they're killing the word in you, if they're killing the word in you, I say if they're killing the word in you, How do we know it's killing the word in us? Oh, and they could be good things. You know, I want to get a second job. You know, they could be good things. You know, and we allow our life to be so filled with the desires and the cares and those things that we want to get, amen, that now it leaves very little room for the word. And the word gets choked out of us. How do we know? Because I'm about to say something. Now it's up to us, amen, us. We begin to compromise our commitment to the word. We begin to compromise on things that we said we wouldn't do anymore. Places we say we wouldn't go anymore. We begin to compromise on commitments that we've made to God and his kingdom. And it's slowly, slowly choking the word out of you. We begin to compromise because we need more stuff. We begin to compromise because we got to get to a higher level economically. And we begin to allow those things. And it's amazing that we will be so dogmatically committed to advancing ourselves in the world to the expense of our spiritual walk with God. If we would put the same kind of commitment, you know, in going after God that we do for other things. See, I'm just going to throw a couple things out there. You know, if a rock hits you, then just don't holler because everybody knows you. Amen. But say I decide I'm going to go and get me a degree. And nothing wrong with education. But I'm not going to miss that class. I'm not going to miss that exam. I'm not going to miss that final. Unless I'm definitely sick. Something comes up. I mean, something's going to, you know, I want to get my, you know, I remember when Jerica was in ballet. We wanted to be everywhere with her. But we had to make a decision because some of it conflicted with my commitments to the kingdom. You know, so again, we got to make some hard choices and some hard decisions when it comes to those. See, I'm just being real. Huh? I mean, you know, I want to get another promotion on my job, so I got to put in more extra hours. How about a promotion in the kingdom? See, we will fanatically go after other things, and the only thing that messes us up is if we don't align it with the kingdom. We don't understand kingdom purpose. Because, you know, I could spend all my time, or you can spend all your time pursuing these other things, and then guess what's going to happen? The Bible says it's appointed to all of us. You're going to die. We're going to die. And if I put all my effort there, and then I die, and I have put not the effort that I need to in the kingdom, I'm going out unprepared. So I'm really telling us, amen, we got to really be mindful of our pursuits in this world. If you're going to go for your education, go for it. But don't put God on the back burner. Go for it. If you want a promotion in your job, go for it. I'm all for about advancing in the kingdom. God wants to take you to a higher level. Amen. Hear what I said? God wants to take you. He's going to open the door, but that doesn't mean he's going to be put on the back burner. So many times over the years, I've seen individuals, amen, who are pursuing this, that, or the other, and all of a sudden that now because of what they're pursuing, they can no longer serve in his kingdom. I don't have time for that no more because I got other things. So we got to be careful about what we pursue. Think about the alignment that we bring into. Now, if you're doing it and God has opened the door for you, he's going to be with you all the way. I mean, I know one sister, amen, that is working, amen, and she's now in the process of getting her doctorate, almost halfway through, but she has not compromised her commitment to the kingdom. One iota. It can be done. And anybody knows, amen, by working your way from, we remember when she began going after her associates, and now she's all the way up to her doctorate. In the whole process, she has not compromised her commitment to the kingdom. God can do it with you. You don't have to put him on the side. You have to put him behind. Amen. You know, I think about, you know, and I know it's a touchy spot when we talk about our children and sports and all those things. But I think about my niece in Kansas. Her parents, they would not allow her, you know, she's playing basketball, amen. She went all the way to K-State, amen, and beyond. But they already let the coaches know, we in church on Sunday. And you know what they did? They did not give her a problem. In fact, they rescheduled some of their practices so that she could be there, because they understood that she was not going to compromise her walk with God for a ball. Hello? So, again, when we do it with God, he gives you favor. He goes with you, amen, and goes before you. But we got to understand that. Now, I got to get down. I got to finish up. Man, it's not enough time. And you know, but then we got to, you know, after we get through with all that, amen. So don't let those three things, the deceitful, amen, this distractions that come from the world, amen, to choke the word out in you. And then finally we get to the good ground. We got any good ground in here? I saw one hand. That's kind of scary. Come on, declare it. Speak those things that are not as though they are. Come on. Hello. But good ground. Amen. And see, that's where we want to be found. Amen. We want to be found being a part of that good ground. Now, the thing I liked about this one, it said, now, when we get there, it said, these in verse number 20, and these are they which are sown, the day means the seed, the word. Amen. Which were sown on good ground, which as heard the word, and look what it said, and what? Received it. Now, the word received there is synonymous with believed it. So now they heard the word, and not only did they receive it in their heart, amen, but they took it into their spirit. They received it. In other words, they believed it. And because they believed it, what happens? It got to the good soil. It got to the fertilized soil. It got to where there was some nutrients, amen. And down the road, now they begin to produce a yield, some 30 and some 60 and some 100-fold return, amen, on the seed that was sown in the good ground. And the Father wants us to be good ground. But the only way we can be good ground is if we really understand what it is that he's trying to do, not just for us, but in us and through us. See, like I said, he didn't just come to save us, but he wants to do something in us. Amen. So now he can do something through us. Amen. To show himself in the world. Amen. To show himself, amen, strong. Just like I think about, you know, when Daniel came out of the lion's den, the king had to change all his decree. Say, everybody going to worship. I mean, when the Hebrew boys came out of the fiery furnace, the king had to change the decree. Everybody gonna worship this God, huh? Now think about that. I mean, but first he had to help them to understand who they were. He had to work on them on the inside, amen. So now they had the faith to stand in the midst of the circumstances that would have choked the word out of somebody else, amen. And now they went on through the fire, they went on through the lion's den, and when they came out. Now he's doing something through them. He's showing his power. He's showing his glory. So when we go through, it's only because we've allowed him to work in. See, you can only go through to the degree you've allowed him to work in you. And if you ain't allowed him to work in you, you can't get through much. Because then we're going to fall back on what? Our default. But we need to receive that word. Amen. So that now we can operate according to the word and God can get the glory out of our lives. But we got to understand we are kingdom people. Amen. Called to operate according to God's way of doing things and not our own. We got to rise up and say, you know what, I'm not going to let this world beat me up no more. Amen. Because, you know, this is not my home. I'm just passing through. Amen. But while I'm here, you know, while I'm here, I'm going to make a mark. While I'm here, I'm going to make a difference. While I'm at this duty station, while I'm on this job, while I'm living in this neighborhood, whatever the case may be, I'm going to make a difference while I'm here. Amen. And they're going to know something about the God that I serve. Amen. Because that's who I am. I'm not here to represent myself. I'm not here just to get ahead. I'm here to sow seed. Huh? Because that's what he's talking about when he says the 30, the 60, and 100-fold. I'm here to sow seed. I'm here to make a difference in the lives of others. I'm here, amen, to sow the word into others. So now when I get ready to leave here, Chantel, I got fruit that remain. There's some fruit that have come out of my life. I'm not the only one that's been enhanced by what God has done through me or to me. I can help bless others so that they can grow too. Just like I'm here because somebody sowed into me. Am I the only one? See, that's how it works. Now, I'm the fruit, amen, of Glenn McGee's sowing. That's the man that's, you know, brought me to Christ, for those who don't know. Amen. But had he not sown into me, and he had to do some watering. And what, he just come to me one time and say, you need to get saved? Oh, okay. No, didn't work like that. He sowed, and then he kept watering for an extended period of time, to all of a sudden there was a blade that came up. And he kept on sowing. He kept watering. And one day I said, all right, you know, I was out there in the world. I'm like, all right, I'll come check y'all out. And I checked it out, and it checked me out. Checked me out of the world into the kingdom. You know, and that's what we got to do. We got to be ready to sow so that now when you look into your life, when you look at who you're touching, is there any fruit? I would pray so. Kingdom fruit. All manner of fruit. Amen. And that's how we know, amen, that why Christ is working in us. It's not just us by ourselves. It's a mystery. But he's unfolding the mystery. He's helping us to understand who we are and our true purpose here so that now when we go on our job, when we go into Walmart, when we go, you know, all these different places, we know I'm here not just for toilet paper. Hello. We all need that, right? Just like the people we see, they all need Christ. Amen. See, so we understand I'm not just here on this base, amen, to get a promotion. Now, y'all heard my story last time. Amen. I joined the military. I wouldn't even think about war. I was thinking about benefits. Huh? Hello? And when we understand, amen, the same thing with the kingdom. Amen. There's benefits, but you gotta survive the war. Amen. You gotta be ready to fight. And when we're ready to fight, amen, the benefits are literally out of this world. But you got to be ready to fight first. You got to be ready to stand for. You got to know who you are. And no matter what comes your way, you still win. As long as you don't cave in to the pressures of this world. As long as you don't become one of those first three types of soil. Amen. We want to be the good soil. Amen. That the seed that is sown in us is producing something unto righteousness, not just for ourselves, but for those around us. That's what he's called us to. That's what he wants to do in us. Let's stand. I gotta wrap it up. But, you know, truly, God wants to do some great things. And, you know, I looked at the young people this morning. They truly blessed me. Amen. They truly blessed me. And that's what it's all about. You know, is reaching those souls, amen, and preparing them because, you know, those four that was up here plus the others, amen, you know, they're equipped. They're being equipped, amen. They're being strengthened so now that they can go out and they can reach other young people. They can make a difference. Now, it's not just up to them. We are also in that same category. We come to be equipped. We come not just to get excited because that won't last. We just saw that. Amen. Not just to receive it in our flesh or in our heart. That won't last. Amen. But we want to be those, amen, that produce something. And we got to ask ourselves, I should be producing. I should be discipling somebody. I should be telling somebody about the goodness of the Lord. You know, what did Jeremiah say? It was like fire shut up in my bones. You know, he couldn't keep it to himself. Amen. And why do we keep it to ourselves so easily? We need to light a fire. Amen. We need to call upon him so that he can move in us. So let's bow our heads. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And if you're here, you want to come to this altar and just, Lord, help me to become good soil. Help me to lay those other things away. I don't want to be falling by the wayside. Lord, I don't want to be, you know, the stony ground. I don't want to be the one that the word is among thorns and being choked out. But I want to be a good ground that brings forth fruit. Father, in the name of Jesus.